All right, Joe. Nothing but like a little Tony Bennett to play us in. That's no, not the case. But no, sad news. Tony Bennett passing away at 96. Just happening within the last half hour or so. Did you hear Lucas in the news there? Released 70 albums.
That's crazy.
70 albums. So let's rank them. Worst.
That's the whole show?
Yeah. I know. I'm just kidding.
Where would the album with him and Lady Gaga rank?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know. Of 70, I mean, that's a lot of.
It's probably a lot of reissues.
I don't know how you'd be start to thumb through that to go best to worst.
But a great career. I mean, this was a guy that was touring right up to the pandemic. I believe he was at Falls View like the 2019. So he, you know, was touring right up to the end, and obviously a legendary musician, lived a full life. Passed away this morning.
You don't really get singers like him anymore, right? Like, he's described as a pop vocalist. And so, like, who do you have? You have Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Does that kind of act.
Puts on a great show.
And that's really it, right?
I mean, you'll have your lounge singers, right, in different cities, you know, but not as popular, right?
You mean, you don't, like, have...
Michael Bublé is the one that's keeping that style around.
Is that surprising to you at all? Because it's like, it's very popular music, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. I still think that a lot of people know, or I'm not saying they listen to it all the time, but like they know of like Frank Sinatra songs.
Yes.
And will listen to some Frank Sinatra stuff, or Dean Martin, or Tony Bennett, or, you know, a lot of these guys who fall into that, you know, pop vocalist category. I still feel like that is, it's popular adjacent, right? Like it's still around. It's not like it's a totally dead category, but there's nobody really new doing it. I feel like that's a little surprising.
I think it's because people want to go back to the artist you just mentioned. Like, when they want that kind of music, they want to play the Sinatra. They want to play Dean Martin. They want to play Tony Bennett, right?
But if I want. Old, you know, I like old country stuff, you know, like a Waylon Jennings, like Merle Haggard, like this old country stuff. And I like, but there's still new artists that you can look at, and it might not be the same thing, but they're keeping it alive and kind of are in that same vein of music as some of those old guys. And there's a lot of them, right?
Right. I mean, not to that extent, but there are people that are making newer music. Like, if you listen to a station or make a station that's around, like Frank Sinatra, there are new people, but it's not, you're right, they're not as popular. Again, I think it's people want to hear Luck Be a Lady. They'll go and play either the Sinatra studio recording or go find an old live recording. By the way, the best Bellagio Water show is Luck Be a Lady.
Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, there you go.
He's one of them. But, you know, like, that's, does he do any of?
No.
Is he more famous as an actor?
He and Michael Bublé are the most popular around Christmas time, right? I mean, Michael Bublé has a ton of albums, but people think Michael Bublé is, he sings Christmas songs. But most of his albums are not Christmas songs.
But, like, I'm looking up right now. I'm like, okay, this website, website. You can find anything on the internet. All About Jazz, the website.
Ooh.
And you can, artists similar to, like, so you can, like, similar, so I don't know what their database looks like, but artists similar to Michael Bublé. And who is it? All right, Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, Tony Bennett, we have Bobby Darin, like, everyone's photos in black and white.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no, all right, they put Nora Jones here.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's the same thing, a female voice, but same. Matt Dusk, I've never heard of this guy, but... Again, his photo looks like he's wearing a suit that's tailored like it would be in the year 2000. You know, like it's somewhat updated. There's just not that style of music around. For as popular as it was, it really has died off. But all you hear, like if people go see Bublé, you just said it, like, oh, puts on a great show.
He does put on a great show. Yeah.
Like, people enjoy it when they listen to it. I just think it's surprising that it's just completely off.
People like the Great American Songbook, but again...
Rod Stewart, there you go. So Rod Stewart tried to do this, and he was actually very popular with that. Rod Stewart, just like, what a wasted...
Sir. Rod Stewart.
But really, like, in my opinion, now not everyone's going to agree with this. Like some people would vehemently disagree with this, but what a wasted career, Rod Stewart.
Just how
the,
so?
The greatest like rock and roll singer ever. Like the you listen to the old faces. I mean it's just great.
When I see you tonight.
Yeah, like then he tried to be a pop singer.
And it worked. He didn't try, it worked.
Sure, like it worked. He had the hits.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure he's crying all the way to the bank.
It's junk compared to like the stuff that he was doing. Like it was so good. He
are you saying
he could have been as big as Mick Jagger?
Are you saying Do You Think I'm Sexy is not a good song?
Like
that's a great song.
Listen. It has its time and place.
Maggie May? Wake Up Maggie?
I think. Like, it has its time and place. But then, he went on, and then he did the songbooks. Like, he did the Tony Bennett stuff in his later years. Which, I mean, you know, Ron Stewart's still alive.
Yeah.
But, like, that's been his...
They did a Vegas show.
Yeah, that's been his shtick for a while. Wayne Newton, by the way, is coming to...
Oh yeah, right down
Riviera
yeah.
Theater, right down there the. So he's same. You don't really put him in the same. He's just Vegas.
Yeah,
like I don't think of him as a Sinatra with Tony Bennett. I just think of him as a Vegas singer.
But all those guys have something in common. They did a lot of work in Vegas.
Yes, but like Rod Stewart, he turned into that, and it was kind of popular. And so I guess there's a thing. But what a wasted
Regis. When Regis was still around, he did an album in the early 2000s.
He did?
Oh, yeah. You don't remember the Regis had an album?
I don't remember.
When Tony Danza had a morning show, he had an album?
I have all the Shatner albums. I don't have the Regis one for
Regis
some reason.
Had one. Tony Danza tried an album.
I know Tony Danza.
Very similar. Yeah, I mean, it's every now and then someone tries to come out and go, hey, remember these songs? I've redone them.
Do you have to be like a... So all these people have something in common. Like they're famous for something else, so they're on screen, right? Like Tony Danza is like a TV star, and he tried to be a crooner. And like Harry Connick Jr. is, I feel like he's more famous for doing acting stuff, even though I couldn't name a single thing he acted in.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've seen him more on TV than I've ever heard a song from him. And Sinatra, you go back Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and like they're all on TV, and so do you have to have that presence to do that kind of music?
You have to do movies and music.
Yeah.
Or a TV show and music. Yeah, it seems to be a common theme. But I'll go back to this, Brian. I think it's still very popular, but again, I think people want to hear the Sinatras, the Bobby Darins. They want to hear the originals. Maybe not someone trying to bring it back.
Someone saying, don't you remember the young kid who was on American Idol from Buffalo? The redhead?
Yeah, John Stevens.
Yeah. We do remember.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't, no offense, great singer, didn't win and didn't, where is he now? That's a great, series. Where is he now for John Stevens? There was not an appetite for that type of singer.
He was,
there's a reason why. Has a male ever won American Idol?
A male?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruben Studdard.
Why, but like, name a guy.
The guy who just won it.
You think I know who just won American Idol?
The only reason I know is he sang the national anthem at the Home Run Derby.
But, like, name a guy who won American Idol or, like, any singing competition where it's a singing competition who goes on to have, like, a good career as a singer. You can't. There's not an appetite for that. The female side of things, like Kelly Clarkson, people listen to a woman sing those songs. People listen to Carrie Underwood, right?
By the way, I'm forgetting one, and I just saw him in concert. Scotty McCreery won American Idol. He's climbing up the charts on in country music. Scotty McCreery is very successful.
So he's like a country.
Yes,
but he's not a.
No, he's not John Stevens. No.
Yeah, he's not wearing a suit.
No,
you have to wear a suit, by the way, if you do this music.
Yes, and John Stevens has a great voice. I'm sure he's doing shows around Buffalo. He really screwed up when he attempted to sing Crocodile Rock. I still remember that 20 years later.
Defining moment for you in front of the TV watching the local kid sing Crocodile Rock. I just occurred to me there, like you have to wear a suit if you're singing this. Does that turn a lot of people off?
No, I think if you walked in and someone's singing this kind of music and they're dressed like me, they're walking right out.
Yeah, like you're totally don't know. I mean, like, does that turn people off to going into this, knowing that you have to wear a suit every night on stage? No jeans, no anything, not a casual button-down shirt, no rock and roll attire. A suit. You can untie your bow tie and have it hanging around your neck, but you can't do anything else.
Yeah, that's what when you come back out. You have to have a suit and a drink. That's how you...
Yes.
And you have to be in a dimly lit room that you can smoke in and has a full bar. That's what I picture.
Did the end of indoor smoking take down the pop vocalist lounge singer genre?
It might have. You watch some of these old videos, these guys are singing some of the best voices of all time, and they got a cigarette in one hand, a drink in the other hand, and they're singing in Vegas. I mean, come on. There's no ambiance anymore.
The fog machine just didn't cut it.
No. You gotta add a little tobacco smell.
Well, R.I.P. Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
That's our long way of saying, rest in peace.
R.I.P. Tony Bennett. And, we'll put some music on later.
96 years old for Tony Bennett. All right. What else is going around? We ran a race yesterday. We both finished tied for first.
Yes, we sure did.
Didn't happen because of the weather.
No, and Brian, I want to thank you for saving me the last 10 minutes of my drive. Brian called me around the Boulevard exit of the 290, and I knew it had to be canceled because usually Brian will just text. We're very much texting people, and you calling me, I go, this thing's canceled.
Yeah, I wanted to get you as soon as possible because I probably could have called you earlier, but I had to double check with the race people.
Oh, just yeah, I'm glad you did.
Make sure. Not do anything else, but they were shutting down Canalfa, storms rolling through. And then we were watching the storm roll through on the porch. And I kept thinking, if they moved it up like a half hour, I think we would have been fine.
Yeah, but they'd have to let everyone know that.
Yeah, that would have been tough to do. When it started pouring, I was like, probably a good thing that I wasn't running in this.
Yeah, it would have been tough.
The rain, it wasn't all that windy though. Like, you could do a downpour with no wind.
Yeah, I mean, it got pretty, in Amherst, it got pretty windy. There was one flash of lightning, Brian. We had no lights on, and it was like the entire apartment was lit. I mean, that's how bright, right through the window, and then the loudest thunder I've heard in a long time.
There was some loud thunder that rolled through North Tonawanda, so they ended Canal Fest a little bit early.
So no reschedule of the run? We'll have to wait till next year?
I guess so. Until next year. I mentioned the Tour de France is going on. Did you know that, Joe?
No, you had me look it up this morning.
I just wanted to make sure.
It's on the 18th stage from what I read.
Yeah. So the Tour de France happening now, it is one of those things that there is a segment of people, obviously people who are on bikes, will get excited for. Like if Jim, this would have been a perfect time for Jimmy to be here. Unfortunately, he's going on a week-long bike ride. But the Tour de France is going on now. And in honor of the Tour de France, Joe, I was thinking about this. What are the worst sporting events to watch on TV? Like the worst sports you could possibly watch on TV, because I can't think of much worse than the Tour de France. To be watching that for however many days, you're watching the same thing, basically. It's somebody riding a bike. There might be a lead change here or there or something interesting. I'm sure it's very beautiful, but I can't really think of anything less interesting than watching that on TV. I want to have like some sort of ranking here, but I think the rule here has to be that it has to actually be on TV.
Yes,
like that you can't just think of something that would be boring, and say like, yeah, this is the worst TV sport. It has to be something that they regularly or semi-regularly show on TV. I think the Tour de France and like this bike racing would have to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I do love when there's like an incident and I can go on YouTube and watch like five bikes crash into each other. Like I will watch that, but I'm not gonna watch 3 hours to hope there's a crash. I mean, that's awful. I have to agree, Brian. I can't think of maybe watching a marathon. Might rank up there, and the marathon's on every year on ESPN.
That was going to be my number two.
I think it's a tie for first. Can we tie for first?
Yeah, I think you're right. It actually, because here's the thing about the Tour de France. Every once in a while, you'll see a pile up.
Yes.
Every once, and there, that was been in the news. You know, they're asking people to stop jumping out in front of the, which amazing that you have to ask people to stop doing this. Just incredible. Jumping out in front, trying to take a selfie in the middle of the road and then causing like a 18, you know, bicyclist pile up. I don't like when the best part of the event is the crash.
Right.
Like that shouldn't qualify like as being a good sport to watch on TV. That makes it though, when you have those moments, those are the highlights that could be. There's never been a really good marathon highlight.
No.
You're just watching 2-3 hours of people jogging.
And good for them, right? Good for them, but I just don't want to watch it.
Yeah, I don't want to watch
it. No. No, it's actually worse than the Tour de France. I'm going Marathon 1. I'm not even doing Tide anymore. Marathon 1, the chance for an incident moves Tour de France down to 2. And obviously, I'm not talking about a critical incident or anything that's going to, you know, I'm talking about when two bikes run into each other and they get upset. That's why it moves down to number 2.
So then what? I feel like those ones pop in your head like, I don't want to watch this. Then what? 803-0930, and you can weigh in. What's the worst sport to watch on TV? We'll go to Jerry in Niagara Falls. Jerry, what do you think ranks up there with, we have the Tour de France, we have the marathon, what else? Can you hear me, Jerry?
The yacht race. Come on, you got to be kidding me. They might have one change, 20 hours of watching these guys sail their boats back and forth. Come on, yacht race.
I like that, Jerry. And here's where I will put the yacht race just above, like the America's Cup and stuff like that. I'll put it just above those two other things because it is, I'll turn it on if it's on. And for a little bit, it's impressive, right? Like, it is impressive to see people sail a boat and, like, kind of go fast and make a, you know, a turn on a dime and do that kind of stuff. But that's about it. Like, after that, Jerry said, like, you might only see one or two lead changes. I wouldn't know.
Right.
I can't tell what's going on at all on the TV ever.
No. And, yeah, you have to look at the little thing on the side to say there was a switch.
Yeah, when did that forget happen? Who's on first; it's who's in first.
Yeah,
because there's just no way of knowing what's going on there. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever left the TV on. Like during the Olympics when they're showing that, I can't say I've ever left it on for. That's an instant flip for me.
You mentioned marathon. I think I'd want to put like all running.
I have to say, I will find myself watching a triathlon. Not the whole thing, but I'll flip to it because I'd love to see like the transition from like run to swim, but I'm not watching the whole thing. It might be on for 2 minutes.
I don't understand why the Summer Olympics are so much more popular than the Winter Olympics for people to watch on TV. I mean, I understand globally, you know, more people are competing in the Summer Olympics than the Winter Games, but like in our country where you can watch everything on TV, how are the Summer Games more entertaining than what's going on in the Winter Games?
Basketball and tennis.
But people watch the track and field stuff.
No, I know.
Like
I know.
How is that more interesting than the swimming races are fun to watch on TV. That's a good TV event. Even the 100-meter dash.
See, that's why I'm not putting running as one thing. That's why it's marathon. I can like a quick run and you do see lead changes. You see people run into the line. I can watch like a sprint. I'm not watching a race.
I don't think it's interesting.
Oh, see, I can watch that. I can watch the where they, you know.
How often is there a lead change? Not in the 100 meters. It's like you know who's going to win, or you can't tell who won.
But it's quick. It's not, you know, we're not watching, hey, this person's in 20,000th place.
But yeah, it has to be kind of long for there to be a lead change.
I guess lead change is not the way to put it. It's a quick sprint. It's a quick sprint. I like to watch that. I like to watch where they put the pole in the ground and they try to jump over the stick. I can watch that, watch their landing.
The pole vault?
Yeah, pole vault. That's what it is. I think track and field.
Jump over the stick.
I think
that's what they originally called it, I think.
I don't think there's any way you can. I mean, you can. I wouldn't group marathon and track and field. I think there's a lot more going on in the track and field to follow than the marathon.
None of the track and field events, I'm sorry, like, are have me in front of the TV ever. The swimming I can watch. That's like the first week, usually, of the summer games. Races are usually pretty entertaining. Yeah. There's been some awesome ones. The track and field stuff, I can't. It's very rarely do I ever find it interesting.
Well, I'm not saying that, like, if it's on, I'm flipping to it. But I'm making this list off what's an instant turnoff. In track and field, I could find myself getting glued to.
Oh, track and field, it would just never be
but
on.
But I think Summer Olympics are popular because of basketball and tennis. And now golf. I think that's made the Summer Olympics more popular in this country. But you're right. People eat up that track and field stuff.
The track and field and, like, all the other events get way more publicity.
It's always the prime time, yeah.
Than, you know, basketball and tennis do. So I don't know if that's...
Maybe I'm just saying that's what I like to watch of the Olympics. But you're right. I mean, the prime time on NBC, 8 o'clock.
I tell you why basketball isn't, and, you know, we're up against a break here. The basketball in the Olympics is not fun to me because it's just like we should win and beat everybody by like 50 points.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's why I'm at the Women's World Cup place today. We play Vietnam. Like, that disparity in competition should not be at a top level international event. We're going to beat them 16-0. Like, that's not that fun.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, like, yeah. After a while, like, it's not really fun. Like, that there should not be that level of competition disparity at an event. Now, I mean, the Women's World Cup is, like, there's more teams at the top who are competing against each other, but, you know, I think they have to shore up this field a little bit because you're running into stuff like that. I don't know. We'll be back here. Worst TV events. WBEN. We're back here on WBEN. Joe, talking about the worst sports to watch on TV. 803-0930. You know, if you had to rank them, what's the worst one you could watch? This is in honor of the Tour de France that's going on right now, which I can't imagine sitting down and watching, but to each their own. Joe brought up the marathon racing. The marathon's always on TV. You know, Boston Marathon, New York City, you know, the big ones, they're on TV. I said, you know, all running races and everything. I said running races because, you know, it's a good race to watch. And I think they took it out of the Olympics. Race walking.
No, they did not.
Oh, they didn't?
No, not the last Olympics. I remember that being on TV.
That's good. They have pile ups in race walking.
They do?
Oh, yeah. People, they're nudging each other with the elbows, and, you know, they got that sassy, like, hip movement going on. You can't have both feet off the ground at the same time, and they're, like, bumping into each other, swinging hips. There's some good race walking clips out there.
No.
You get that. It's more entertaining to watch. I'm not talking about, you know, merits of the sport, what's harder, what's entertaining to watch from your couch. The race walking to me is more entertaining to watch than I think all of the other running races.
You might have me on marathon, but I'm still putting track and field does not make my top 10.
I can't. Track and field near the bottom to me. This would be to the bottom. Someone mentioned video game championships or competitions. They texted that into 803-0930. I would be with you. I wouldn't think to consider that a sport. A lot of people do. I mean, it falls under the esports, you know, umbrella, right? Watching somebody play video games that would be at the bottom of my list.
Did that not take off like they thought it would? Didn't TBS have like a huge contract and then they scrapped that?
I mean, it's a huge industry. Like, people watch it
online.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know if it really took off on TV.
On TV? Yeah, maybe not yet.
Everything's going online, yeah. So maybe they're ahead of everyone.
I wouldn't be too surprised about that. Somebody else saying chess. Is chess on TV?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, this has to be something they show on TV. And then someone mentioned up curling. They said curling is the worst, yet it's the best. Can't stop watching. Yeah, that doesn't mean it's the worst. Curling's one of the best sports to watch on TV,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, I love watching curling.
You understand what's going on.
You hear all the communication of the athletes.
There's, like, never commercials.
No.
You hear everything that's going on. It's easy to understand, so you can jump right into it. And it, I mean, it's right there in front. I think it's one of the best sports to watch on TV.
I
like a little curling.
Yeah.
Golf got a mention on the text board.
I like watching golf, especially the last three holes if it's really close. It gets, you know, especially a playoff hole. Oh, come on. I can really get – I used to watch a lot more golf than I do now.
I would put golf
there on your list
toward the bottom of worst things to watch.
I was going to say, we've never watched golf together. But like over the weekend, watching Josh Allen with Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes going all around the course, that was fun. I had fun watching that.
But like why? Like what was fun about it?
Well, the competition, you know, and then Steph Curry hitting the hole in one. That was exciting. And then, you know, you talk about like back in the day when Tiger Woods would just be so above everyone and you would just watch him hole by hole. I don't know. I enjoy it. I think the competition, I did like watching Tiger up, you know, 17. But I also like watching it's down to the wire. Can Spieth hit this putt to force a playoff hole? There's excitement there.
Yeah. Listen, it's one of those things. I don't deny the skill. And I don't, you know, golf as a pastime, well, that's great. At the end of the day, like to me, all those things you mentioned, you're watching golf and I just cannot, it's, yeah. There's no action in it for me. I just have never taken to it, especially on TV.
I get it. Or, you know, someone 18, they need a par, they just need to be par and they slice the tee, but they save themselves. They hit an amazing shot out of the rough. Come on.
Here's the problem with what you're describing. You're describing like 5 minutes out of five entire days. Like, you know, what? How many hours in one golf tournament? Like, but the entire thing is what? 10 hours of TV, but the last 5 minutes are the exciting part?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it makes, for me, makes it watchable. Like, I think all of Sunday, if it's a close match, if it's close, Sunday is watchable from the minute it comes on air. Yes, I would agree that Thursday I'm not flipping on unless it's, you know, someone's making their return. You know, you just had Ricky Fowler finally win for the first time since 2019. Like, okay, how is he going to follow that up? I might watch the beginning of Thursday.
Yeah, I'm. I'm not into it. I can't get into it. Somebody mentioned beach volleyball, gymnastics, and volleyball. I think they're going after the whole gamut. When the Olympics are on, I could watch a little bit of that indoor volleyball. Like that's it. It's easier enough to follow. The beach volleyball always to me seemed like the worst version of that. It's not as interesting. To me, I think it's like the corny version.
But beach volleyball takes skill. Like you're moving around in sand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Skill has nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
right?
Skill has nothing to do with it. This is me. What's most entertaining to watch on the couch? And I don't mind volleyball. I do mind cornhole on TV, which is on TV at an alarming rate, Joe.
Well, that's because they have a station called ESPN News that never shows news and is just trying to fill time.
I feel like at least 25% of the time, if I am at a bar or restaurant with sports on TV, there's cornhole being played.
Yes.
That is far too many times that I've seen cornhole on TV for that. Why? I don't understand. It's definitely not fun to watch.
No. No. Cornhole is in my top five.
I don't understand. It's not even a sport, again. So, like, I don't even know why it's... It's a game. It's a yard game.
It's on, and they have a lot of advertising. But no, I agree with you. When I see cornholes on, I go, "Well, it must be an off day for sports."
Then you get into like the major sports, right? Where you get down, like you know, it's easy to say this about some of the Olympic sports that are on every 4 years, or like these fringe things like cornhole or whatever. But you get a little bit into the major sports. Someone said one of the worst thing to watch was 2000s Bills football, and here's where I'm like, where does football? Because I totally agree with this person texting in. Like there is definitely points in the drought in the 2000s where football to me was the worst thing to watch on TV.
Yeah, see, I could watch the two worst teams in the NFL play, the worst game ever played, And I would still put football at the top of my
list. Bills football was excruciating to watch.
And I still looked forward to it every Sunday.
I went, there were games where I didn't watch. Like if there's you're week 12 and you're out of it and like the team is just brutal. Like, yeah, maybe I'll watch a little bit. I'll watch the fourth quarter or something like that. But there's games where you're just like, yeah, I can't do this every single Sunday. Football has changed a little bit. Football has benefited from a lot of things, I think. One, like HDTV, I think, has done a lot for football. Like the look of it on TV is much better.
Yes.
They've gotten so much better. People complain about broadcasts all the time. They've gotten so much better at filling the time in between the action. Because that was one of my biggest gripes is, like, they have a play and they stand around for forever. And, like, it's just, like, whatever. And I think it is it's gotten a little bit more up-tempo. It's, like, now offenses are, you know, throwing the ball down the field.
Right.
Like, it is a little bit more up-tempo. Obviously, the Bills being better and good at football helps out a lot. Having a vested interest in it, too, with, like, fantasy football and everything else.
That's really helped the NFL.
Because you can put on any game and I can know like there's some sort of like fantasy football implication going on. And then the Red Zone channel is like the greatest for me to watch where it bounces around like all the important moments for all the games. So now it's like football is one of my top things to watch on TV. When it used, I would have put it in the 2000s when the Bills were terrible toward the bottom.
Yeah, football's always been number one. NFL, college, I love it all. The Red Zone channel, when the Bills aren't the 1 o'clock game, I have that Red Zone channel on. I love it. I love seeing everything going on, fantasy football implications.
I think it's because I'm too Bills dependent. Like, I'm not the person who's going to sit down and watch college football. Right? Like, I need to have that investment in there. And when there's just nothing that mattered around the Bills, like they were just, and the team was boring, it wasn't even that they were bad. In the standings, it was that they were boring. Like,
right.
That was the worst part of it. When you had that, it was just tough to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think you echo how a lot of people felt, and those teams were brutal. But like for me, it's appointment TV, right? If the Bills are on, if Virginia Tech's on, if there's a big matchup in the NFL, a big matchup in college, it overtakes everything. It's on top of my list.
NASCAR will get a lot of votes for this. Because I feel like that's a love it or hate it thing.
Yeah.
But
not many casual.
Here's the thing. I think that's changing.
Okay.
Because I would have been in the absolute no, like you'll never find me watching any NASCAR race. They had that street race in Chicago that closed down parts of the city and they're racing on
yes.
the streets. Now, no, I didn't watch it, but I would have.
If I remembered.
Well, just like if I was in front of my TV, like if I was watching TV, I would have turned that on. Like, that's kind of interesting to me. I will watch on a weekend morning. I'll watch some of the F1. The qualifying is pretty exciting. Like, it's a time thing. Like, you have the clock counting down.
Yes.
People have to get out on there and set the lap. You know, the qualifying is better than the race, honestly. That stuff can be exciting. I'm not making it appointment viewing, but I've definitely gone from, you know, that's the worst thing to somewhere in the middle.
So I used to watch NASCAR every Sunday. When I was in college, I watched every race. It was near the top of my list. Right now, Brian, I would say I'm right in the middle. It's not appointment TV, but I can definitely understand why people watch it.
Somebody else on the text board, 803-0930 for you to weigh in, by the way, said, if I have a fantasy player in the game, I'll watch any football game. And like, I totally agree with that. And with that, I'll flip from the Red Zone to if like I have a player in one of the games that the full game is on, I'll flip to that game just to watch. And, you know, because you have that investment. Like, Sunday has turned into football for me. I mean, there were Sundays in the 2000s where you would go the entire day. I could go the entire day without watching like anything. I'd watch Sunday Night Football because typically those were the good, exciting teams who knew how to play.
Yeah.
And everything else, whatever.
I like back to the Bills being appointment TV. I remember when they were just awful, but you know, I'm shaking trying to get out of church because noon, church is over. I want to get home, get my Bills stuff on and just watch this team take everything out of me.
For me, though,
Sunday after Sunday.
Between the ages of like 14 and 20 were, I mean, those are some rough years. Those are some lean, so it's 2004 and 2010. Like those years go by and I'm like, oh, it's tough. I'm still a fan, but like
2004 was rough at the end. I mean, all you had to do was beat Pittsburgh's backups, and you couldn't do that to get to the playoffs with Bledsoe.
Oh, you know, I can't put years to the season, so I would have been, you know, totally in on that. So we'll call it 15.
Yeah.
Age 15 to 20.
2004 was, in my opinion, out of all that, you know, because at least you know, okay, this team sucks, this team sucks. 2004, you literally were given a gift, and they couldn't, and it really just cemented how painful the next decade was going to be.
So we're getting into the bigger sports. Baseball is of the baseball's up there.
Oh, I knew baseball would be on your list.
Yeah,
it's obviously not.
I know you watch baseball.
It's appointment TV. Second on my list.
That's unbelievable.
Well,
second of your list of things you'd most want to watch.
Yeah,
and a baseball game on TV, and you're watching it.
Yeah. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Mets, Red Sox. Can't wait. Let's go, Mets.
You like the Mets. If it's any other baseball game, you're still watching it?
If it's the playoffs, I will watch any playoff game or playoff implication game. I also have fantasy baseball. So I will watch if, like, I'm in a close game, I will watch that game.
You could get me to tune into playoffs or World Series. Like, there is a little bit of an atmosphere there.
There's a lot of people who are like that. They won't watch baseball all season, but they will watch the playoffs.
Well, yeah, because baseball all season, it is ridiculous.
It's a faster-moving game now.
Okay, it doesn't really help. You're still every day. It's every day. It's at least 2 hours every day.
Yeah.
A lot of times way longer. It's just too, and it's a slow moving, like, to think that you're going to sit down and watch that. I like, part of this list is what would you make appointment viewing for? Like, not just flipping around, like, what you would or wouldn't stop at, but what are you, there's just no way, I think, like, most people can say, yes, I'm going to sit down. You even, got stuff to do.
Even diehard baseball fans don't watch all 162. Like, the Mets played at 12:30 yesterday. I did not sit down and watch the Mets at 12:30 yesterday. Did I watch the recap? Yes. Did I follow it on my phone? Yes.
So you watched it?
No, I didn't watch it live.
But you,
I watched the recap, and they lost 6-2. But I think for baseball fans, it's the bigger series, right? Like, the Mets Braves. I'm not missing that. That's a divisional matchup. The Mets-Phillies, they're chasing the Phillies in the wild card. I'm not missing that series. Mets-Yankees next week. I already told my wife, Tuesday, Wednesday, don't make anything. I'm watching these games.
It's still too much. Even if you don't watch every game, like, it's so much.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I know there's calls to take games away from the season, but the Mets are going to need those games this year to get into the playoffs. But I would say, if you're saying, all right, Joe, here's what's on TV. Football's not an option. I'm watching baseball.
I think the things with the baseball is, like, one, you know, it's the leisurely pace. Baseball is a great sport to go and watch in person.
Yes, it is.
On TV, it is just brutal because you don't get any of the atmosphere, which is the only good part about watching a baseball game, is the atmosphere. You don't get, like, any of that stuff you get inside the ballpark. Instead, you're just watching everyone, you know, tossing the ball around. There's no stakes. Like, if whoever wins or loses, well, we're just playing again tomorrow. It's one of 162 games.
Late September, that's not true.
Okay, but, like, for a vast majority of games, there's, like, no stakes in the action. It's a brutal thing to watch on TV.
Yeah, I love watching it. I would have to say, I think May and early June, difficult to get through. But, like, now, all right, Mets are 8 games out of the playoffs. Let's go.
There's also,
every game means something.
Like, something to, and I'm like, I might be mixing, like, arguments here. There's something to, like, hockey. Hockey is not, I love hockey. I like watching it on TV. I don't think it's the best TV sport. And there's a couple reasons. Like, one, it's, for just the average person, it's almost too fast moving for TV. Like all the complaints, you know, of people like, oh, it's hard to catch on to hockey because if you're new to the sport and you watch on, like it's kind of tough to follow. I think that's really true. Even, you know, for a lot of people here who watch the Sabres all the time, like even if it's not true and you can follow it on TV, for new people, it's tough to get into. It's way better in person to be able to watch it, especially, I think, from up top and like get the full view of the ice and what's going on.
Those top seats are the best.
But like part of it is there's so many games. Like you'll have games at 7 o'clock on a random night. Like the beauty of my favorites to watch on TV, football and soccer, it's once a week. Like there's one day a week where it's on. I mean, you know, I know they got Monday Night Football and Thursday, like all these other games. I don't watch Thursday Night Football ever, like unless it's the Bills. I'm not watching Monday Night. Like I'm not watching these games. But there's one day a week where it's on. It's a very, like, it's a set amount of time. Football, it's a lot. Soccer to me is great. Soccer, you know when it's on? It's on Saturdays. It's on at, you know, 9:30 in the morning, and it's done at 11:30 in the morning. And that's it.
Aren't there Tuesday games?
For?
Soccer?
Oh, like football. There's games on whenever, but for the most part,
Saturday morning.
That's when it's on. Yeah. And like that's it, and you're done with it, and the commitment level is just so. For most people who have stuff to do, football, soccer, you could argue racing, but there's like you know, but like those sports where it's only on once, the season is short, like you have time to actually follow along the whole thing. Hockey's rough, like I'm to follow to be able to watch every Sabres game, like. That is a commitment for a lot of people.
But when you have an interest, and that's, I'm just going on, you make it, you know, you make it appointment TV. All right, Sabres play Tuesday, Wednesday,
but how Saturday. Much can you make appointment TV? Like, that's the thing. If you want to be a Sabres and a Bills fan, like, are you sitting in front of, you know, and then November rolls around, you're sitting in front of your TV for, what, so say it's a week, you got three Sabres games, so there's 2.5 hours per game. So, and then a Bills game is 4 hours long. But, like, you're sitting in front of your TV for 10 hours?
I think the Sabres are like baseball. You know, okay, I can't watch the game Tuesday. I have something to do. You know, I'm going to take my kids somewhere. I have something with my family. But Thursday, nothing planned. All right, flip on the Sabres game. I mean, that's how I'm taking it. You know, when my schedule clears for it, appointment TV. Yes, it's more difficult than football. I completely agree there. That's, I think, the selling point of football is my team plays once a week.
Would you like it if it was if hockey had a set schedule? I mean, this is impossible to do, just the, how many teams and you know, all the arenas and stuff. But if they were like, all right, we play Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays.
You know, that wouldn't be bad. Tuesdays and Thursdays off.
Right? Like, yeah. And Sundays. Like, just those are the days we play. I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, wow. It's already 9:58.
Yeah, we got to go.
Hey, tune into Hardline. We're making the show right now. So Hardline, Sunday, 10 o'clock. I'll be back Monday. Brian, you're taking a few days off next week?
Oh, yeah. So, yes, I won't be here Monday. So, I'll be back here midweek.
All right, we'll talk to you midweek. Enjoy the IMAX. Can't wait to hear how that goes. Have a great weekend. David's next. Sorry for taking so much time here on WBEN.